Christian education is a staple of life in this church. It is as basic and critical to the life of the church as bread is to the body. And today we show that we don't take that for granted. So let's thank our teachers again, please. Today is also a day that we think about our daily bread, literally, and act on our gratitude for having bread to eat. We declare that we don't take it for granted. What we want for ourselves, we want also for our brothers and sisters. We do this offering of letters today as a part of our Christian commitment to feed our neighbor. And we could not do this offering without the support of all of you in this church. So thank you. And we could not do it without the dedicated people at Bread for the World, an organization which not only our church has supported the last few years, but the Methodist denomination supports as well. Bread for the World is a collective Christian voice urging our nation's decision makers to end hunger at home and abroad. By changing policies and programs and conditions that allow hunger and poverty to persist, we provide help and opportunity far beyond the communities where we live. God's grace in Jesus Christ moves us to help our neighbors, whether they live in the next house, the next state, otherwise in the country, or on the next continent. Food is a basic need, and it is unjust that so many people go without enough food to eat. We can end hunger in our time. Everyone, including the government, must do their part. With the stroke of a pen, policies are made that redirect millions of dollars and affect millions of lives. By making our voices heard, we make our nation's laws more fair and compassionate to people in need. And all it takes is a letter, a stamp, or a prayer. This is our third offering of letters at our Redeemers, but it may be the first time for some of you to participate in this. So I will briefly explain what we'll do today. First, we will learn about those in need so that we can determine how we feel about it. And then we can do something about it. Then with the sample letter, the fact sheets, pens, paper, and envelope at your table, we'll provide time for you to write a personal letter to a senator or member of Congress. For those who prefer to write a prayer at that time rather than write a letter, please use that time to write a prayer with the materials at your table. These letters and prayers are then placed in an offering plate during a separate offering of letters. We'll offer them prayerfully to God before we send them to our country's political leaders so that they know how we feel and God feels about ending hunger. So this is why we have the tables like this. For those who are not normally attending this church or haven't been here in a while, this is atypical. We normally sit in rows and things like that. So thank you for doing something a little bit different today, and thank you for those who attend here regularly and also are experiencing something different today. You could just chalk it up to me being a trainer, and if I don't see a classroom with tables and paper, I don't feel comfortable. So maybe it's just me. So I thank you for giving me that comfort. But back to what we're focusing on today. This year we're focusing on hunger in the United States. Last year we wrote letters about our international policy to try to make sure that every dollar was used more effectively so when it goes overseas we don't waste a single penny. But this year we're focusing on hunger in the United States. And that affects millions of children and millions of the working poor. And today we're looking at to try to voice to our members of Congress to renew tax policy and adopt changes that would benefit low-income families, making it easier for those working families to make ends meet. This year, taxes are at the top of the agenda in Congress because a series of tax cuts and tax credits, some enacted actually 30 years ago, as well as those in recent years, will expire. And in the midst of the debate over which taxes to change and which to renew, I don't have to tell you about the debate, the needs of low-income people, however, could be lost in the shuffle. So let's not let their voice go unheard. What we're going to do here now is show a small video which shares more details about this year's campaign and will give you a peek into the lives of at least one family who benefits from these programs.
The headlines are troubling. The statistics are alarming. But they only tell part of the story.
Job, poor old man, lost your house and food and land?
Like Job, Heather Rood Turner has suffered more than her share of losses. She and her children, Naomi and Isaac, took refuge in a homeless shelter 2 years ago after she became a victim of domestic violence. But like Job, Heather's faith in God gave her the strength to come through that dark time. Now she's blessed with a new home and a new job.
Who gets a shot when they go to the doctor? Raise your hand.
Me!
She works full-time as a preschool teacher, making just over $14 an hour. But it's not enough to meet her family's basic needs.
I don't eat a lot of times because I feel bad because I'm taking the food away from my kids. And I feel like, you know, we have one banana in the house. If I cut it in half, they can each have half of a banana. And I don't need vitamins. I'm already grown up. I feel like I just can't take food away from them. This is WIC cheese.
Heather relies on the government's nutrition program for women, infants, and children, her church food bank, and preschool lunch leftovers to make sure Naomi and Isaac don't go hungry.
We have food on our table, and I'm thankful for that. But at the end of the day, you still have bills that you have to pay. You still have things that require cash that you have to pay. Like, I can't take a WIC check and mail it to Sprint. You can't put gas in your car with food stamps. My landlord doesn't want milk or cheese. He wants a check.
President Obama and others have pledged to end childhood hunger in America by 2015. And this year, Congress will take a step toward that goal by renewing the Child Nutrition Act. But nutrition programs alone aren't enough.
We need strong nutrition programs to address the immediate needs of hungry families. But we also need long-term measures to address the root causes of hunger and poverty. Tax credits put more money into the pockets of the working poor. And we're asking that these credits be strengthened to help more families put food on their tables and to lift themselves and their children out of poverty.
The most critical tax credit for low-income working families is the Earned Income Tax Credit, which reaches 22 million poor people and lifts 5.5 million families, including 2.5 million children, out of poverty a year.
The Earned Income Tax Credit has been by far the most effective anti-poverty tool in the United States. The Earned Income Tax Credit says to families, we know you want to work, and you're not earning enough through work to meet basic expenses. For every dollar that you earn, the federal government will match that at up to 40 cents on the dollar.
This year, important tax cuts are due to expire. That means Congress has the opportunity now to strengthen tax credits that help low-income people keep more of their hard-earned cash.
Every parent wants his or her children to grow up in a safe, stable home. But not every parent earns enough money to make that happen. The Earned Income Tax Credit has given millions of parents the dignity of providing for their children through their own hard work. I think that's the way God wants us to treat people.
Heather Rood Turner had her 2008 tax return prepared by a volunteer income tax assistance program that offers free tax help to low-income people.
The lady said I was going to get like $3,000 back from the Earned Income Tax Credit, and I almost cried right there in front of her. I was like, you've got to be kidding. Because I just found out that I was going to be unemployed for the summer. I used the Earned Income Tax Credit for rent when I was in between jobs, and then I used it to buy a laptop so that I could go back to school.
Heather is attending college online to get her degree in child psychology. As a former Marine, the GI Bill is paying for Heather's education. For people like Heather, the extra money from tax credits can keep a crisis from turning into a tragedy.
If I hadn't gotten that money, our alternatives were going back into the homeless shelter, and we'd be back on the streets.
Low-income working families have very little bit of a cushion between their income and their expenses. So when something comes up, like a car emergency, a child care emergency, that could really cost them their job. Tax credits really help them to shore up their family incomes and to have a buffer.
Bread for the World is a collective Christian voice that urges Congress to end hunger, whether it's in the next House, the next state, or the next country. We do this by writing letters to our nation's decision makers, asking them to change policies that keep people trapped in a cycle of poverty.
As we can see from this video, strong child nutrition programs are vital to meeting and reducing hunger. But food assistance, as they said, is not enough to overcome hunger. The causes of child hunger in the U.S. are rooted in poverty and the lack of opportunity. So the earned income tax credit alone raises 2 million children out of poverty. And it brings in $1.26 into the community for every tax dollar spent. But what I also like about this video, in addition to the facts it shares, it's not all about the facts. Sometimes it's about our stories, personal stories, like the one that we saw in the video. I think that's one we all can relate to. We can relate to the desire to fill our stomachs. This is an instinctive drive, but we can also relate to the need to provide for our loved ones and can imagine how tough it must be to try and try and try to provide, but still fall a little short, to be unable to fill the stomachs of our children. For me, this year's campaign hits very close to home, actually. You may not think that, but when I was in elementary school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, despite my parents' efforts, we could not always meet our needs. My parents prayed to God for help with our needs, and He did help. Sometimes this was through our neighbors, and sometimes through food pantries, and sometimes through food assistance programs. I had a special light blue card that allowed me to eat free and reduced lunch at school. This took care of me at school, and by God's grace, food was always on the table at home somehow, which was important with three growing boys at home from 1983. I'm the one on the left there. You like the hairdos there? Does that take you back? But growing up, apparently, I didn't know the whole story. When preparing for this year's offering, I talked to my mother about it, and I learned that my parents had actually taken advantage of the earned income tax credit. This program had not only, it seemed, benefited someone I might theoretically know, it had benefited from benefited us. It had benefited me. And I was dumbfounded, actually. I was struck by questions that I could not answer. That perhaps God only can answer. What might have been the future for my brothers and me if we had not had these credits? I practice this all the time, and I got emotional. I apologize for that. What would we have done if our needs weren't met? Would we have reached a dire state? Would we have been okay? Perhaps yes. Perhaps no. I really don't raise these questions to try to answer them. Only God knows. But I think that's the point. I stand here today in part probably due to these programs and God's grace. So I think these tax credits help shape a better future for millions of God's people and may prove that we cannot underestimate what God might end up using to accomplish His will or who to our left or to our right might benefit from this program. We just don't know. So having considered what might have been, as I just shared, so let's move out of the past. And the video showed us what is the current state for many people. We should consider what might be. My mom taught me to look ahead, so let's look ahead. What might be the future for many families in this community, this state, and this country? We have a chance to stand with these working families in our community who are on the precipice, so they will not have to ask the question, what might have been. Rather, they will be able to consider what bright future might be in store for them and their children. So I'll get right to the point here. What are we recommending this year? We're recommending something similar to the letter that's on the screen. There's also a copy at your table in an orange leaflet. What we're wanting is this to be in your own words, so there'll be time for that. And we're wanting to urge you to urge our officials to renew the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit. What's interesting in all the debate is these credits actually, as I pointed out, already exist. We benefited from this as a family back in the early 80s. So these already exist. They already work. They already give back to the community, and they simply need to be renewed. So I won't read the letter for you. I think that's what the personal reflection time is for, to read over the letter, to look at the facts, and decide what your conscience says and put whatever's in your own words, whatever's in your own heart, whether it's a prayer or a letter. So now we will provide that time to write the letter. So at your table you will find a two-sided orange paper with a sample letter, the facts, and also addresses of your senators and congresspeople. And I think they're in front of somebody, so somebody might have to pass them there. You will also find in your bulletin, for those who want not only those materials, but other materials to help with the prayer. There is a colored, I think yours might be blue. There is an insert in your bulletin that mentions a prayer that you can read to inspire your prayer and also give some additional thoughts that you can consider. And, of course, there is paper, pens, and envelopes. So we ask whether it's a letter or a prayer, put it in an envelope. If you need pens or anything like that, if we missed your table, please raise your hand for your table. We have a table up front that needs a few pens. We just wanted to keep the ushers busy. And one last thing. Of course, this is something that you all have the resources you need, but if I could have the members of Micah Ministry stand up for a minute, any members of Micah Ministry here, just stand up and wave. If you do have a question and I look busy, you know, just look around you. We've got some folks who are familiar with this as well. We're happy to help you. So what we're going to do during this time is give you 8 to 10 minutes for you to meditate and contemplate your own thoughts. There will be music playing to kind of just make the time go more pleasantly. And I don't know about some people, but I like to fill every line and I get rushed at the end. So I will mention when there's 2 minutes left, not as pressure, but if you wanted to get that last sentence in, you'll have time. So I will mention when there's 2 minutes left. But other than that, I want you to be in an attitude of worship and contemplation. So let's go ahead and begin, and we'll listen to some music. Thank you.
If we play that middle track, it's just a minute or so. I'm sure to come around to your tables and collect the letters and the prayers. We're going to bless both, so please. Thank you, ushers.
For some reason you still had to scribble something on yours afterwards and you hadn't turned it in yet, feel free to give it to an usher after the service, but we will pray for those as well. If everybody would bow their head with me, a moment of prayer. God, you have put it on our hearts to care for our neighbor, to care if they are fed. Thank you for this opportunity as brothers and sisters in Christ together to act on our convictions and help those in hunger be fed. But we know that it is you who provides. It is you who does the heavy lifting in struggles such as these. So we ask that you bless each letter and hear each written prayer. Let it work on the hearts of those who affect the fate of so many. We lift up all our prayers, both those written and unwritten, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, hear our prayers and bless this offering of letters. Amen.